Good evening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, peace and blessings. And for those that are on, I do apologize. We were having some technical difficulties. This is Sister Denise Muhammad, and my co-host, Brother Sean, will be on in just a few moments. Please bear with us. I do apologize for the delay. But thank you for tuning in tonight. We have a wonderful show lined up for you. In this show, we will discuss self-healing, herbal elements to improve your health and extend your life. And we will share with you some of the history on herbs and some of the do's and don'ts when using herbs as medicinal medicine. So hold just a few minutes. Let me get my co-host on the line, and we'll get started in just a second. I apologize for the delay. Again, we were having some technical difficulties calling into the show. And I'm while I'm waiting, just to let you know just who I am. I'm Sister Denise Muhammad. I'm a self-care and wellness coach, and my specialty is in how to eat to live as my foundation, and also essential oils is what I specialize in, and I research and study information on essential oils and how we can use essential oils to as medicinals. Looks like Brother Sean is on. All right, let me unmute your mic. Okay, Brother Sean?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Okay, thank you for coming in. I finally was able to get us connected. So I was just giving a little background on myself while I was waiting on you to come on the line. I did let our callers and listeners know that we will be discussing self-healing herbal elements and how to improve your health and extend your life with self-healing herbal elements. And you have a new book out in regards to that. So I'm going to turn the show over to you and let you introduce yourself, and we'll go from there. Brother Sean?
Yes. Peace and blessings to everybody. Brother Sean Ali. Tonight, like she said, we want to discuss our new book, The Manual of Healing Herbal Elements. Earth-based solutions. So you can get yourself together. And we want to, and the book is, like I say, I'm not trying to get ahead of you, but the book is based upon the natural occurring elements that we normally probably walk past every day, or that is classified as weeds, so we don't even look at them for having any type of valuable properties.
Didn't you say we have somebody waiting?
No, they're listening. Okay.
No, I was going to say, because if they had the question, we could go ahead and jump, because, you know, we love questions.
So you can give, Brother Sean, you can give the history on the herbs, and until we get some questions, we'll just go from there.
Yes, ma'am. And for everybody that is tuning in, that will tune in, that's thinking about tuning in, we thank you, and we appreciate you. The whole show is based on our concept of helping you to heal yourself. So, and because the only person that can heal you is you.
Right.
We can help to facilitate the environment in yourself so you can heal yourself, but that's the most that anybody can do. And the history of, at one point in time, human beings did not get sick.
Wow.
Getting sick is closely, intricately related to how you eat. As the diets got worse, the illnesses increased.
Right.
Which is why we can, right. So it's, that's why they only have, they have dates on all this, the traditional Chinese medicine. I mean, those aren't that old, because before that, we didn't get sick.
Right.
We didn't need healing. We didn't eat. We ate to live. So as we try to address some of the situations that the health conditions that, you know, we are unfortunately we suffer under today, any type of prescription medicine is from an earth-based solution. It's some type of herb or other plant or something that they extracted. They might have synthesized it, but it's still, because it's nothing, everything is from the earth. So up until 1847, and here in America, every physician practiced natural herbal remedies as they were taught from the Native Americans that were already here when the Europeans arrived. So the Europeans brought with them sicknesses and disease. The Indians, or what we call the, or what they call the Indians, gave them earth-based solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Ginger is even, has a, they have an American ginger that was exported to China, and they took over ginger. So a lot of, yeah, see, that's, and up until 1847 is when the start of the American Medical Association. And
right.
They started, right, in 1847 here in America. And they started mainly because they had an American Homeopathic Association that was started in 1845. And the homeopathic lifestyle or medical association was based off of the herbal remedies that they learned from the American Indians. So there was no way to capitalize, because once this doctor came to assure you and he gave you the herbal, whatever the remedy was, you were cured.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no profit in this.
Right, they couldn't make any money off the herbs,
right.
So they set up the American Medical Association to counteract that natural movement.
Right, that was already established in 1845.
Right.
And then you had these concoctions, which when we, the definition of concoction is basically a lie. You had Dr. Pepper, and these things still exist today. These were concoctions that transitioned right into the American Medical Association and the pharmacy industry.
Right.
The pharmaceutical, right. See, this is, so now you got profit. And if a person just, and this is in the book, where chapter one is called The Science, Precautions and Safety.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all covered because, go ahead.
Well, state the name of your book for our audience, Brother Sean.
The Manual of Healing Herbal Elements. Earth-based solutions.
Yes, sir.
To healing, health, and life. I'm sorry. I was looking for. I got my incense of sage and dandelion and lavender, and I use that to help. Yeah, that helps set my mood.
So when we doing our interviews, I got my Earth Day solution.
Right.
And plus, I'm fasting and I'm hungry. So this will help knock that hunger back a little bit, so we can get back to the show. I'm sorry, artist, but look, so 1847, the American Medical Association started, and from that point on, we had nobody being cured from their diseases.
Wow.
Now you have just nobody being cured, but you have a dependency. So now, like I said, the pharmaceutical industry was nothing. Now, from that point on until 2017, it runs the world, or at least America.
Yes, sir.
Because you get a prescription. You don't go to the doc. You leave with a piece of paper to carry to the pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
So with our book, there's things that dandelions, they call a dandelion a weed because it will kill grass. It'll dominate a lawn full of grass. So you can't grow a pretty green lawn with dandelions. So they classify that because they don't want you to understand what a dandelion is. So they classify as a weed. So you will go get your weed killer and you killing life.
Man.
And dandelion has tremendous, it has tremendous health properties.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So this is the mindset that was developed in 1847. So the word quack comes from a German word that they used to classify the natural doctors. So all of those that were under the American Homeopathic Association from 1845, when the American Medical Association started in 1847, they came up with the word quack to call those that was in the American Homeopathic Association.
Yeah.
They had the juice. The AMA had the juice. So they had the advertising. They had the money. Because the American homeopathic doctors, they were poor because they only saw you one time.
Right. That was it.
They might have picked up some herbs on the way to your house. So, you see? So there is no profit in that. So now the one that had the juice, now they made those natural curers, those natural healers, they made them to be called quack, crazies, voodoo, witch doctors. See, they give them all of these crazy names to make us, when we look at them in our education, and we say, oh, man, I'm not messing with that crazy. See?
Yes, sir.
And all these people did was go to the earth, and they pulled out a couple of leaves of this, a couple of roots of this, some bark off of this tree, put it in some water. Say, here, drink this.
Right. Wow.
And they telling you, we can't cure you. That's the big key. I can't. See, the American medical, they don't tell you that. They give you the, because they put this white pristine jacket on, and they had this nice shiny stethoscope, and they got all this equipment in here, and they got a heart monitor, and they got blood pressure monitors. They got all these things to tell you your condition, but they ain't got nothing that can fix it.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Just give you prescription after prescription. Wow.
You become more stressed out when you leave before you arrive.
Yes, sir. So,
so in with my profession or my background in health and wellness, like I say, one of the things that they taught is disease prevention, as well as how to treat it and find a solution for it.
Right.
So yes, yes, and that's a healer. So and part of the training and part of the education was on natural elements. In the study of it, that's when I discovered the American Medical Association and the pharmaceutical industry and how they just took over, brainwashed all of us. And at that time, we were still in the midst of slavery because we didn't get out or start to get out until 1865. So 1847, we still in the – we property. We this has nothing to do with us. We were still healing naturally because Big Mama would put onions on your feet. See, it wasn't until integration. It wasn't until we started to be amongst them in their neighborhood and they lit up in their hospital because it was a white-only hospital at one time. See, we were very all – we were good at one time.
Right.
In that generation that wanted to fit in, that generation that wanted to be brothers and sisters and hold hands and eat at the same counter and go to the same hospital, is that generation.
Right.
That fell for the trick and said, I'm not going to do that slave stuff no more. So now here we are. In dire need because it's nothing that they can do to help us.
So, Brother Sean, how can we explain to our audience and those that may listen in the future, how do we properly use these herbs in as medicine? And if we're not sick, are they preventative medicine? How does that work?
That's a very good question. That is because the short answer is we use them very carefully because they are medicine. You know, it's been many quotes out that says food is medicine, which is very true. So if we must know how they interact with other herbs or other vitamins or other elements because we could be looking to heal ourselves and then just start something else somewhere else.
Right.
Which is why those pill commercials have so many, they list all of the side effects. Nosebleed, irritation. You know what I mean? Because that could happen with an herb, though. You know, with too much garlic, is you thin your garlic is a natural blood thinner. So the people, when they administer garlic back in thousands of years ago when they first encountered garlic, they didn't use it to season food. It was when somebody was having problems, particularly with their blood, they gave them garlic.
Okay.
To help their blood flow. But too much garlic, now you thin your blood out too much and you could potentially hurt yourself. So that's what I say. In the book, we cover the dosages. We cover, and mind you, this is not like laboratory medicine. This is because it's a practice. So if you come in with a problem, it's no specific. I will start at the lowest dosage possible to see if that works. So, for instance, if you came in with asthma problems and I go and I get some lavender and I get some mint and I get some other expirants that will help open up your breathing,
your passageways, I would start you off at the lowest possible dosage. Give you a day or two to see how you feel. And that's how we have to approach it. I want to, and I'm saying that because, you know, any herbal book would come with a disclaimer that say, hey, you know, always consult. Get a second opinion.
Right.
I'm a professional, but two professionals look at the same thing. They could see two different perspectives. And you could take the best of both and help yourself.
Right.
So from right, you so because we in this one little show, and I don't want to give, you know, it'll be kind of hard to go into too much detail in our show.
Yeah.
But go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So it would be safe to say that if we're trying to use it as medicine, we would need the proper information, a manual to know even what the dosage is. Especially when we're cooking with it, you know, we just dash in a little basil here and a little garlic here, and it's not, you know, it's not measured out, it's not scientific. So, yeah, it would be.
And that's where I saw that. Because as you know, I grow a lot of these elements myself.
Right.
Before I even went into this, I was growing my own herbs and spices. So, because I didn't like the store ones. So, once I got the information, these are medicine. They aren't food. If we approach it as food, we're approaching it from a perspective. See, we have to understand that the country we are living in went to war with all of these people. And as they conquered these people, they took garlic, they took bell peppers and green peppers, they took, they're used in America because they have become spoils of war.
Right.
So they didn't come to us as medicine. These things come to us from a conquered people, and they made the Chinese cook for them, and they used these stuff, and they said, "Oh man!" And they just took the Chinaman and brought them back. Fried chicken. Black people didn't come up with fried chicken. I mean, as much as we love it, the Chinese people came up with, they are the originators of frying chicken. And when the Caucasian needed his railroad built, he took the Chinese people to come and build the railroad. And they bought their food. They bought opium. They bought the medicinal herb. And this is how we have it here in America. That's not food. We didn't have, when we were in slavery, we brought sciences with us, even though it was over time taken and beat out of us. But we bought these. We didn't have garlic. We didn't have a lot of these elements that we're eating today. Maybe that's why we are in the physical condition we are in today. Because food is medicine. And if you aren't hungry, why are you eating? If you aren't sick, why are you eating? Because we have been taught that when you get that feeling of an empty stomach to eat, go ahead, to cater to your desire, to cater to your wants, because we have access to food.
Right.
When there wasn't fast food restaurants, there was no none of this because you didn't have access. It wasn't no corner store. I'm not, you know, I'm hungry. But now that the children know that there's a McDonald's, that there's a Burger King, that there's a, you know, 7-8, oh, I'm hungry, Mom, Dad, I'm hungry. See, can I go get this? See, but
so, and I don't want to get too far off topic, but that's these even bell peppers. I mean, we use it. I don't care how our brothers over there in Mexico or the southern regions eat. Bell peppers were medicine.
Right.
So they have elements in it that we can overdose on. Vitamin A being one. So if we ate bell peppers all the time, and if we mixed it with other elements that also had vitamin A, we could be overdosing on vitamin A, and we could be making ourselves sick. Headaches, dizziness, blindness, and other serious ailments are symptoms of too much vitamin A. So just like with any other ailment or any other element that's included in these foods, a tomato is not just lycopene. It's 100 elements that make up a tomato.
Wow.
And a tomato was used as medicine, not as food.
I don't even think we know how to properly use any of this as medicine instead of, you know, fulfill that taste. We have a taste for something, so we
right.
Instead of eating, you know, for medicinal purposes, I don't even
right.
think we understand how to do that.
Right. Because if I administer you garlic, I'm not putting it in spaghetti. Eating garlic bread. See, you getting it, but you're not. You know, so it's not. If you use garlic as a healing element, it's straight garlic.
Right.
It's not garlic in no other carrier. Just like with all of these other elements, if you using basil as for the healing properties of basil, it's not basil in something. It's just basil by itself.
Right. And speak on that basil, because you said...
Oh, man. If there's anybody listening, please take that out of your diet. Please. Please. It is nothing that basil can offer that the side effect... Basil is a known mutagen. M-U-T-A-G-E-N. And it's a mutate and gene mixed together, a mutagen. It mutates your gene, your DNA, your genetics, your genetic makeup. It's a known, they knew this. They been knew this.
Right.
It is a high, it's high in estrogen. It's one of the highest estrogenic foods out there. Which means that if you are a woman, too much estrogen hurts you. If you are a man, almost any estrogen hurts you. Because it activates that X chromosome that's the feminine nature. So you start to see man boobs, and you start to see a man with a big behind, and you start to see a man with a big belly. So, but basil is, it has, it used properly, it can heal. But if you eat basil anytime outside of you using it for medicine, you are hurting yourself. And they put basil in spaghetti, they put it in all of these herbs, they anti-pesto is basil and pine nuts.
Wow.
And then we look at the condition that we are in, individually and collectively. You can only be in the health condition you are in by what you eat. So basil is a known mutagen, meaning
that if you are already sick, it's going to increase your sickness.
Right.
Wow. You are sick because your cells are reproducing on the negative side anyway. That's why you're sick. Because we're nothing but cells. I don't care if that's whether we can see them or not. That's all we are. Scientifically, that's how scientists look at the human body, as the lowest common denominator that they can see is a cell.
Right.
We know there's atoms, but that's too small. We go right at the cell. Bah! That's where life and death is at. Bah! If you sick, it's because your cell is reproducing on the negative side. Because the cell is going to reproduce regardless. That's its job. It's to reproduce. It's going to reproduce life or it's going to reproduce death. It don't matter. The reproduction is based on oxygen, hydration, and nutrition. So the number one way for a cell to get sick is oxygen deprivation. Low oxygen. We don't breathe right, and we're going to get into that. But that right there, so almost everybody has injured cells in their body. We don't drink enough water. So our hydration, the cell is dry.
Right.
Oxidation means rust. The cell is rust. You ever seen rust? It's dry. It's flakes. It's dead. So, see? So the conditions for sickness, almost all of us is there because we're not breathing right and we don't drink water. We don't hydrate properly. We either too much, too little, or we very rarely got it right. So now when you look at the nutrition, and we eat a known mutagen like basil. And it's also estrogenic. Come on, man. So that sickness is increased because now it's got a mutagen that's going to make it mutate towards whatever way it's already going faster.
Wow.
Throw the estrogen in there. This is how deep basal is. And as we, especially the believers in the Nation of Islam, the talk right now is on the feminization and the now this is what we do to ourselves. It's things in nature.
Right. So that's why we need to know, you know, before we use this stuff, what the side effects, what the negatives, the pros and the cons, because the negatives can outweigh the benefits.
Yes.
Like, yes, sir. So
you'll be like that commercial.
Wow. And if our audience, if you have any questions, you can press 1 to state your comment or question. Yes, sir. What are some other herbs and with your research and in your book, like basil, that we should look out for?
Oh, man. Celery. I know we love to put that in.
Yeah.
I know we love to put that in the bean soup and stuff like that and at the salad bar. You know, celery is not in the book. But that's why I didn't put it in there, because I didn't want people to use it. And I only put basil in there because the book is based more on, like you say, on the side effects, the contraindications, than the beneficial. I tell you what it, but I'm giving you the research. I'm giving you the quotes or the references, so you can go. But they have all already done the experiments, and I wanted to focus because there's more already enough books and, you know, basic Google searches on what the properties are.
you know, but nobody wants to focus on what could happen if you take too much.
Right.
You know, and too much is, if it's, say, the dosage is being milliliters and grams, it don't be, it's not, it's so, it's so, if it's, say, 1 milliliter, that means 1.5, 2 is overdosing. And we might think, oh, it's just basil, but it's like that commercial. You might think you relieve in your headache, but you get but you get some serious side effects, that potential side. But like I say, when we look at our everything presents the same. When you go to that, you don't, your stomach hurt, my head hurt, my back hurt, my knee. It starts with pain. Discomfort, and you become immobile, but everything presents the same. So you don't know what particular element or elements could be causing your present condition.
Right.
So before we even embark on what to take, we have to stop doing whatever we previously doing.
Yes,
sir. So when you come and you say, hey, you know, anybody that might listen later or listening now, if you get that, say, well, you know, I got this happening, and what should I do or what should I take? It's not that. It's the first thing is we have to understand that we in this condition because of how we're breathing, drinking, and eating. So we need to look at all, those are our three life elements. We need to look at those three things and make sure we are breathing right, that we know how to properly hydrate. It's not just drinking water. Our liver can only process 4 ounces at a time within like a couple hours. So if we're drinking more than that, we're not hydrating, we're hurting ourselves.
Wow.
Then we look at the food. And we stop. We don't just look at the food. We stop whatever we was eating and we say, I'm not going to eat like that no more. Or let me build new. But it's all based on how long we want to live. So let me throw that, you know, I believe in the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad personally. So he said, man, we can live 1,000. The human body is built to do that. They them carbon dated bones 3.5 million years old. What are you talking about? What? 1,000? Lucy, they carbon dated, what was that, 87, when National Geographic found them bones and said, this is Lucy, the mother. And then they did a picture of a black Adam and Eve, and they said, this, because they're bones. And they carbon dated the bones. First it was 1 million, then it got 2 something, then it got this. Now they say it.
You can't reach. As Houston Methodist, we're the world leader in removing the heart to access a tumor so that it's cancer-free when it's placed back inside. Pioneering new solutions where few exist. That's the difference between practicing medicine and Houston Methodist, leading medicine.
Okay. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Lisa wasn't no back that. Lisa,
right?
Hey, Lisa, yeah.
He just popped up.
Oh man, that's funny, man. You know, but definitely, I like to make a correction. The American Homeopathic Association was started in 1842, not 1845. You know, but dealing with the real quick, you know, dealing with the herbs, you know, we got some herbs are herbal elements are best fresh. Some you have to dry. And that's what I go into the book, and I try to bring an understanding that, you know, each from a fresh to a dry is different properties. Mm-hmm. In a fresh herb compared to the same herb dry. Some cases it weakens it. Some cases it intensifies it. Some cases it changes into a whole different nature.
Right.
So in the first chapter, like I said, dealing with the science, I tried to break down so we can get an understanding of the whole science of herbal elements, of how they came about with it. Because, like I said, at one point in time, we never got sick. So this is not something that we go and we collect. No, we're not supposed to get sick. So this book is supposed to collect dust.
Yes,
sir. You hear me? Yeah, it's right. Because you're not supposed to get sick. And fasting is the cure for almost all of I don't care what nobody takes. Ain't nobody got a cure for cancer, ache, so that stuff don't work. So we can try fasting. You see?
Right.
So fasting's right, because that stuff, we know it don't work. They ain't got no cures for nothing. They giving you stuff to live with. No. No, the human body is made by God. They carbon dating bones 3-something million years old. This vehicle is awesome as is. We messed it up. So these herbal elements are designed to get us back on balance and then not use them no more.
Yes, sir.
Because unless we are off balance, we don't need nothing but air in water. And if that's all, and I would love for the listeners to, man, that's all we are, 75% water. We good, man. Our atomic makeup is 65% oxygen. Our elemental makeup is 75% water. That's the first two. If we get those two right, see, then if we got them wrong, that's when we get sick. I'm telling y'all,
mm-hmm.
We take a herbal element, it balances us back.
Mm-hmm. Right, I've heard of the. You've heard of the water cure, Brother Sean.
Yeah. I heard. I don't like the word cure because,
yeah.
Like I said, it doesn't matter. I mean, you have to heal yourself. You know, and it's not even a healing. It's a off. We off balance. Our energy level is off. That's the only way a human body can be sick.
Okay.
We eat the wrong thing. It disrupts. We eat something that's so toxic, it takes all of our life energy to get rid of it.
Wow.
That's why. That's the main thing. So with the herbal elements, you know, it's an A to Z. It starts with agrimony. And agrimony is, I tried to get the elements that are indigenous here, because we here. So I didn't want to get something, I didn't want to put something in the book that we'll never probably come across.
Right.
So I want us to be able to heal ourselves as an attorney. I mean, this is for those that don't trust this world's doctors, like myself.
They killed my father. They killed my sister. They almost killed my mother.
Yeah.
After they touched them, my family died of hurt. So I'm not, you know, this is another part where I put this together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so like I say, it starts with agrimony, which was used by the Native Americans. You know, it looks like, and if you see the picture, you'll be like, man, I walk past. You probably see.
Right.
Right. You know, alfalfa is another one. That is a man, please. Alfalfa sprouts at that salad bar. Please do not use alfalfa unless you are using it for medicine. Alfalfa was animal food. They used that for, it was not fit for human, it is not fit for human consumption.
Wow.
It was only used for medicinal, and usually it was, you know, it was some bad, they didn't use it immediately, but I got it. It had, it's high in estrogen. See,
a lot.
If we look at, I'm trying to see if we looking at the, we're looking at the condition of our people, especially our brothers. So it's a, sisters eat more salads than men, women. They eat the alfalfa sprouts. And so what does that do to you? What does that do to your body and anything that comes out in the children that you produce? It's particularly the male children. So alfalfa is, it has three elements in it that are high, are estrogenic elements. So like I said, with that one, you know, if we have to use that one, we should never use that one ever, but it is a solution to some of our diseases that we can encounter. So that's why I put it in the book.
Okay, Brother Sean, looks like we have a question. Caller 770, last four digits 8349.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Okay. I've been listening, and everything, you know, I agree 100% with all of the information that you shared. And I had just one question about, well, actually, I had two questions, two things to ask. And the one thing is, how do you feel about cleansing? I know fasting is a form of cleansing, but, like, when you have toxins that kind of are a little bit more serious, deep in your system, that, you know, from something that you've eaten, from parasites and things of that nature, how do you feel about cleansing? And then the next question is, how do you feel about the Dr. Sebi? I don't like to compare, but, you know, how do you feel about the information that was put out by Dr. Sebi? And I'm sorry, I apologize to everyone. My name is Fatima, Sister Fatima, and here in Atlanta, Georgia. So I wanted to kind of get those questions out, if you can answer those for me.
Oh, yeah, beautiful questions. I have beautiful. We love questions. the first one, with the cleansing, there is, I have to say, see, and that's where we that this is our, this is how we eat wrong. Eating is based on your energy expenditure, how much energy you expend. That's how much you eat. We grew up with, it's one meal, everybody sits down, gets the, basically the same amount of food, the plate, and we all eat. The only person that probably worked that hard was Dad. Everybody else, we didn't expend that much energy, and we take, see, that's sick. See, so when we go to cleanse, all we have to do is even out our in how much we expend. If we take in less, we're going to cleanse ourselves naturally. If you take something and it flushes your system out, that's not a cleanse, because it's an adipose fat tissue. See, when this is why people that lose weight, they have a hard time, because in that fat tissue is the energy of the Dorito. See, because they never burnt it. The energy of that Big Mac is still in there. That negative, because everything is energy. Cause, so it's either good, positive, or negative. So when an overweight, obese person goes to lose weight and that adipose fat tissue is unlocked, that negative energy is being, so they still getting toxins. Sweat is how you cleanse, because it's locked in your skin pore. See, you just like an alcoholic, and they drink and then they start to, you'd be like, man, I can smell it coming out you. It's their body, it's cleansed. We naturally cleanse. We have a natural, we just have to understand that if I eat according to how much energy I use, now I can manipulate my life positively. Now, if I take in to a lesser, I can get out all of whatever's in. If I take in the same amount, I'm going to be even. If I take in too much, I'm going to collect. So if I know that I sat at an office all day and didn't do nothing, I'm not. If I eat more energy than I use, I'm never going to be a cleanse. It won't fix that, because I'm going to put it right back with the next meal. So, Dr. Sebi, the only thing I don't agree with, not agree, because eating is personal, you know. So, like I said, I can't eat for you, you can't eat, because we didn't use the same amount of energy during the daytime. So you have to eat according to your, it could be a food, but he can't say eat this amount or that amount across the board. Because when you go to eat, you unlocking that energy, pop. So that energy, if you can't destroy energy, you can only transfer it or transform it. If you don't work and transfer that energy to heat, then it's going to transfer into adipose fat tissue. But it's no mystery. It don't magically disappear. You have to use it or it's going to stay in you. So when you see a person that show you a picture from 10 years ago and they say, man, see how thin I was? That means from that picture until now, all of that stuff is still in them.
So how about mental energy? Like, you know, even though, because I know a lot of people, sometimes, of course, when you're not using your energy on a physical level, but you are thinking and mentally, you know, I wouldn't say exhausted, but, you know, if you do a lot of mental work.
That's you have to eat however much energy your body used to do that mental work. You can calculate it. Because everything is math. So we can, it's all, especially dealing with energy, we can calculate that, because that's what calories are. It's how many units of energy it takes to heat up X amount to burn off X amount. That's why it's personal, because if you don't know how much energy is in what you're eating, it's easy to go overdose. That's why they have portion sizes. We don't go by. We'll put every side. We got chicken, fish on the same plate with a hamburger, hot dog, we got this, this, and this, and mac and cheese, and potato salad, and greens, and see, we got a plate load of stuff. We don't, we ain't portion. We got, we put how much we think we can eat, not how what's the value of what we eat.
And Brother Sean,
and how does that relate to 1 meal a day?
Yeah. See,
we don't have to.
I apologize.
That's gonna have to be on the next show because we have like 40 seconds left. So, Brother Sean, let our audience know where they can get your book and how they can contact you.
Oh yeah, the book is createspace.com, Amazon.com, the manual of the manual of healing herbal life elements, earth-based solutions for healing, health, and life. If you Google Sean Ali on Amazon, all my books will pop up. I mean, I'm on Facebook. You can hit me through there. My number 240-434-6959. I have a health and fitness business, Supreme Health and Fitness by Sean Ali. All of this is part of my programs and services where I try to help people live forever like we are created.
Yes,
however long your forever is, that's how long we can live. Let's go. Because I don't want to be by myself.
That's right.
Let's go. Let's everybody reach forever. Abundant life. Live. It's been promised. We got it. We got the solution. Let's get it. I'm ready. Let's go.
Let's go. All right. Thank you all for listening. And join us in another, not next week, but the week after. We'll have another show. Peace and blessings. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank
you. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Fatima.
You're welcome. Thank you for the show.
Yes,
it was great
thank
information.
You, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.